Jury selection starts today in Manhattan in the first criminal trial against former President Donald Trump. He is accused of felonies linked to payments made to adult film star Stormy Daniels during the 2016 presidential campaign. Trump is in the courtroom today. Now, this case has seen twists and turns and misinformation. Here to talk about it is Lewis Jacobson. He's senior correspondent at the publication PolitiFact. Lou, welcome.
Thanks very much.
You know, often the shorthand is that this is a case about hush money paid to an adult film star, but the indictment accuses former President Trump of trying to influence the 2016 presidential election. Help us understand the election part of this case.
Yeah, so, technically he is facing 34 counts of falsifying business records to cover up the payment to Stormy Daniels, the adult film star. But just on their own, those are just misdemeanors, fairly minor level of crime. What the DA is trying to do is to basically say that these 34 counts are in furtherance of a second crime or a third crime. The idea is that Trump used this hush money to keep quiet about the affair, or the alleged affair, I should say, and that, you know, had an influence on the election.
Let me ask you about a jury selection, which begins today. New York City has far more registered Democrats than Republicans. How will jury selection work?
So it could take a week or two. Basically, they have made public already the full juror questionnaire. They really, obviously, some are just very basic information about sort of demographic information. If they know any of the people who are witnesses or the defendant personally. But there are also questions that are geared towards getting kind of into the juror's mind as to how they think and how they will treat the case. So, for instance, they talk about the prospective juror's news or social media consumption habits, if they've supported or belonged to an anti-government group, such as the Proud Boys, or if they identified as QAnon, if they've attended a Trump rally or signed up for a pro-Trump newsletter. What the prosecutors really are trying to do is to get people who can set aside their biases and just really deal with all the evidence presented at trial and decide the case fairly.
Yeah. There are a couple of false claims in play in the public conversation here, and you've reported on this. One is Donald Trump making this false claim about the Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg on social media. Trump tried to link Bragg with the Biden administration, falsely suggesting coordination. What is he talking about?
Yeah, so what he's trying to do is basically, you know, pin this on Biden. And Trump is pointing to one of Bragg's prosecutors, Matthew Colangelo, mm-hmm. who formerly worked for the Justice Department, the federal Justice Department, as well as the New York Attorney General's office. During his stint with the New York AG, he did investigate the Trump Foundation and led lawsuits against the Trump administration. But his presence on the team doesn't prove that the Biden White House or campaign officials are coordinating the case or did coordinate the case with Bragg.
Yeah. Donald Trump has made another false claim about the alleged affair. Stormy Daniels earlier publicly denied the affair, but then recanted and said, yes, it in fact happened. What's the backstory here?
Yeah, so a few days before the trial, Trump wrote on his platform, Truth Social, look what I just found. And he asked if the fake news would report it. It was a January 30th, 2018 letter by Stormy Daniels saying, I am denying this affair because it never happened. First of all, this is not new. It was widely released at the time that it came out in 2018. But second and more important is that soon after that, Daniels recanted. And she explained that her denial had stemmed from a non-disclosure agreement. And she said the parties involved had made it sound like I had no choice but to say that. And so once she came clean about what she says actually happened, that former statement was really moot.
Yeah. And finally, and we are going to be following this case as it goes, and it will go for a while, but there is a so-called gag order in place from Justice Merchan in this case. Tell us about that.
Sure. So on April 1st, the judge in this case, he actually issued an order barring Trump from speaking about witnesses or counsel in the case other than Alvin Bragg, the DA, and the judge himself. And he also said that Trump could not speak about members of the court staff or their family members. if those statements were made to interfere with the case. So we spoke to a variety of experts, legal experts on this, and they say that, you know, it's always a tough call trying to balance those two factors, you know, free speech and sort of preserving the justice system and its integrity. But they said that gag orders of this sort are not at all rare and are pretty well supported by case law and precedent.
And we will watch the extent to which it holds going forward. We've been talking to Lewis Jacobson. He is senior correspondent for PolitiFact. Lou, thanks so much.
Great. Thanks so much.